So we didn't finish up last week. Actually, question 8, 9, and 10. So what we were after is another aspect of faith. And we looked at the Romans 3, 21 through 27. I probably ought to read the whole thing. But now, apart from the law of the righteousness of God has been manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, and even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there's no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation or satisfaction in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance of God He passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of this righteousness at the present time, so that He would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Now here's the kicker. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of, some of your Bibles say law, some say principle, what kind of law of works? No, but by the law or the principle of faith. So what's the principle of faith? In other words, if we took this definition, or if we took this verse and tried to apply it to your personal faith, would it fit? Would? Okay. How can you say, well, let's start this way. What's a principle?
It's a set of beliefs.
You're an engineer, you should know.
It's like core values, principles.
Core values. Are principles changeable?
No.
Individually they could be, yeah.
But we're talking about just the issue of principle itself. A principle is the way a thing functions or operates. Best example is gravity. Is gravity ever change? No. So a principle is an unchangeable behavior, maybe, is the way to say it. Okay? So if I say, by the principle of faith, is the principle of faith unchangeable? The principle of faith is not changeable. Next week, or today, we'll get into the difference between the principle and your own personal faith. So we're not talking here about your personal faith. We're talking about a principle, the principle of faith, and it's a certainty, which is another aspect of faith as we study it. And there's a principle involved. And it never varies. It's the same all the time. So we'll talk about that. So four major aspects of biblical faith then are faith in its essence, that's what we're going to tackle today. Faith, where you see the word with a definite article in front of it, the faith. The third one is your personal faith, my personal faith. And the fourth and last one is faith as a principle. All four of those are not the same. Okay? That finishes up that lesson. You all right with those four principles of faith? Of biblical faith?
What was the first one that you said?
Would you go through the whole list again? You
guys are kind of slow, you know.
That's right.
Then lesson two. Right here.
Faith in its essence.
Oh, I'm on four.
No, we're on lesson two.
Same question.
Faith in its essence.
We're on lesson two
right here.
I thought we were on lesson four.
I suppose I ought to tell you what page we're on. Yeah. Four major aspects of biblical faith. One is the essence. Two is faith with a definite article in front of it, the faith, the faith.
Oh, it's already printed on there.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Oh, that's nice.
Your personal faith, and then faith as a principle. Now, there'll be some repetition, I can see, which is necessary. as we go forward. Okay, lesson three, question one, fill in the blank. Here it is up on the board. Let's fill it in. How many of you took grammar in kindergarten? First grade, second grade, third grade.
I'm learning the ABCs.
Elementary school. Did you take grammar in elementary school?
Yeah.
Remember what this thing was?
No.
Yes, a diagram.
We're diagramming a sentence, and you think, oh gee, I'm going to expose you. No, I'm not. You're going to understand when we're done a really cool thing, because we're talking about the essence of faith. So, if you look at this, you have the subject, the verb, and the objects out here, right? So what's the subject of Hebrews 11:1? Faith. Okay. What's the verb?
Is.
What is faith? We have two things that it says that it is.
Substance,
okay. And what's the other one?
Evidence.
What's that?
Evidence,
okay. Now, what's cool about this is this right here. Now, if we did a sentence up there and said, the sentence said, I hit the ball. Do I and the ball have a relationship?
Yes.
What is the relationship we have?
The action you had on it.
I smacked it. But can you identify me with the ball? And do I identify with the ball? Does the ball identify who I am?
No.
Answer, no, it's not. So, in Greek, when you have an is like this, this is called an essence verb. An essence verb means that this and this are connected. There is a relationship between the subject and the object. So if I said, Donna is a woman, I could say a woman is Donna, right? You see the connection? Mm-hmm. I hit the ball is not the same thing. An essence verb, better read it for you. In English it's called a predicate nominative. A linking verb, and what it does, it links the subject to the object, or it ties the subject to what we normally would call the direct object or any other sentence without a verb to be. It's a to-be verb. In other words, it identifies what this is by what that is. Yeah?
My study Bible says, this verse is not a definition of faith, but a description of what faith does.
I disagree.
Yeah?
I think it's an essence of what it is. Okay? And as we go forward, we're going to see, I think, why. Any questions so far? The essence verb, this is the key issue in this diagram. In Greek, it's called an essence verb. You can see why it's called an essence verb, right? Is that okay? Everybody got that? Because it describes the object personally. Okay? So what we're trying to do is we're trying to link this information with what faith is. Not what it does, but what it is. Okay? Now, it tells the state that something continuously exists, and it ties the subject to what is known as the complement. So faith is always these two things, substance and evidence. It's always that. Okay? So we can say, based on what we've said, that faith continuously exists as substance and evidence, or substance and reality. It always exists like that. And we're not talking about your personal faith, are we? Are we?
No.
You're the only one that said, no, I don't think anybody else is convinced. We're not talking about your personal faith. We're talking about what faith in its essence is.
Can I read more out of my study Bible?
So far it hasn't done too well.
It says, this verse is not a definition of faith, but a description of what faith does. Substance means essence or reality. Faith treats things hoped for as reality. Evidence means proof or conviction. Faith itself proves that what is unseen is real, such as the believer's rewards at the return of Christ.
Okay, now let's talk about that for a minute. If my faith, if I say that faith is believing on the rewards that I'm going to get when Christ returns, that's not a definition of faith. What is it a definition?
No, it would say faith is that essence that treats that as reality. This is just getting wordy and stuff.
No, you've brought up a really important part about faith. Is faith the belief in something that's going to happen or something that's already happened?
Both.
Nope.
It's already.
Yeah. It's a belief in something that's already a fact.
But let's say when Christ comes again, that hasn't already happened.
When Christ comes again, you're going to be in him and you won't need faith.
Yeah, I know, but right now...
That's hope. What you're talking about is hope. Biblical hope is an absolute certainty, it's just it isn't reality yet.
Yeah.
I don't have it yet. I hope I'm going to have a glorified body. Is there any doubt that I will?
No,
but I don't have it yet.
Yeah.
So I hope for it.
Yeah.
But I had been crucified with Christ. Is that something in the future?
No,
it's already done. Faith is based on something that's already a fact. And what the essence of faith is designed to do is to persuade you about the facts. You all right with that? So
wait now. What did you say?
The essence of faith is designed to teach you what the facts already are. Okay? Now, right here, substance. Everybody's Bible says substance?
Mm-hmm.
Faith continuously always exists in substance.
Mine says assurance.
Ah, let's try that. Anybody else? Anybody else have a word there that may not be substance?
I kind of like the word assurance a little better.
Okay. Now, substance of what? Oops, did I do this wrong? I might have done it wrong. Oh, I did do it wrong. This goes over here. You didn't see this part. This goes here. So faith is the substance of what? Of things hoped for. Okay. I'm not just put things hoped for. And then I've got to erase this because this goes here. And it's the evidence of things.
Say somewhere that God is faithful.
God is faithful?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
And that kind of means reliable, right?
How come he's reliable?
Because it's never changing. He's never changing.
Okay. So I think I've done it right. Of things being hoped for.
Because God doesn't hope for anything.
We're talking about faith, not God.
But I'm talking about God being faithful.
Well, faithful is different than the essence of faith.
Okay.
You okay with that?
For now.
Faithful is different. Faithful is an adjective. Faith is a noun. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Faithful can describe what God is, but we're not talking about who God is. We're talking about what faith is.
Okay.
Okay. So, substance, assurance, or I like the word reality. So, faith is reality of the things hoped for. In other words, are they real? You're not sure.
Well, if they're not real.
Yeah. Well, if it's reality, they're real.
Right. It would be.
Describe for me what the things are. What are the things? Remember when 3 or 4 months ago we were studying in Colossians? And Colossians 3:1 said, since you be risen with Christ, set your mind on things above. What were those things? Remember
well,
what those?
We'll become like Christ.
The things were becoming like Christ? What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean when we see Christ, we'll be like Christ.
If the verse says, seek those things which are above, there's no discussion about what you're becoming. It just says, seek those things which are above. What are the things? This one says, faith is the reality, assurance, or substance of things. What are the things?
I don't know.
Are they the facts?
Facts of what?
Everything about
facts regarding what? Or who?
I would say bottom line would be that Jesus is God.
Okay, that's one fact. That's one fact. Yeah, that's good. What else?
Knowing that right now we're in Him.
We being in Him is not a thing. We're talking about the things, the reality of what? We're trying to get at the idea that these things are God's things. Do you understand what I mean by that? We it's so hard. If you've listened to the class so far, we've been talking for 20 minutes. It's so difficult to get your mind out of the realm that this is about me. This is not about me. This is not about your personal faith. This is not about what's happening to you. This is about faith itself. What is it? You see that?
It's God.
It is, yeah, well, it doesn't say that. What are the things? Who do those things belong to? Whose things are they?
Us.
No,
God.
They're God's things.
The things that are promised to us.
So let's put, not promises, facts.
But we're the designated.
Now see, you went right back to your personal faith again. Stick with the definition. Faith is what? How I feel about it? No, it's not. What I think about it? No, it's not. Faith is the substance, the assurance of the things what? Of God. And so what are the things of God?
His Son.
Huh?
His Son.
Is that it?
And everything that He did, and everything that the Bible says that He did.
Okay.
And you know,
everything that He is.
Everything He is. Everything
His glory,
He did.
Everything He's done. Everything He's going to
do.
Everything He's doing right now.
I guess what comes to my mind is the gift of righteousness. Is that the thing of God?
God is righteous. God is absolutely righteous. One of the things of God is His righteousness.
Yeah. Would that be God's character?
One of the things of God's character is His righteousness.
Right.
Well, what does righteousness
mean? It means that God is absolutely right in everything He does.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
This be His immutability, His veracity, His everything.
His veracity? Perfect. His holiness. And next week we're going to go through every one of these things. But it's important to understand who the things belong to. See, it's really hard for us because we think faith is subjective. Not in this case, it's not. Hebrews 11:1 has nothing to do with you. Nothing. Not a single thing. If I say the car is red, what does red have to do with you? Nothing. You know?
Yeah, I guess I've never looked at it like that. Because I read that, you know, you automatically go back to...
You do. So you automatically think, well, how does that affect
it
me?
It depends on how you feel about it.
Do I feel the car is red?
Yeah. But, I mean, that's a society we live in.
I can see what you're saying. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I don't see how you can take hope for, erase that, and put God in there. Because hope is for a future.
Okay. Hold on a minute. I got the answer to that somewhere. when faith talks about substance or essence, because this is an essence verb, what is the essence we're after? Well, you know what? Before we do that, let me go this direction. Does faith have to have an object?
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah, it does.
But, you know, just going to that things of God, and I think you can put things of God hoped for, because that you're talking about the things of God.
So okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And faith sometimes, faith most of the time, isn't based on hope for. Do you understand what I mean? This faith is not a discussion about what's going to be ours. It's a discussion of, or I shouldn't have said it that way, I just did what you did. I made it about me. Faith is not a discussion about what's going, although that's part of it. It's really about the reality of right now.
It's a reality that's unseen, which is what probably knocks us off.
I'll jump out here. But yeah. Yeah, unseen.
Right.
Yeah.
But this definition that you're talking about of faith, this only applies to biblical faith, right? Faith,
only.
Faith that is in Christ.
Say that again.
Faith that is in Christ.
With Him as the object.
As the object, right?
Yeah.
That's the only way that this applies. Because if you had faith in something other than Christ, this isn't going to work, right?
So like faith in sitting in a chair, faith in flying in a plane, like that, versus biblical?
Yeah, or faith in Buddha, or...
Yeah.
Some other object.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to understand this verse, I think, without reading this, the verse 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm. Because what 2 does is get it right back to application.
That's right.
You know.
But that's the point of it, is that we're talking about the essence, and so we're getting things defined outside of ourselves.
Right.
But verse 2 and verse 3 goes right back to... Mm-hmm. How it's applied,
mm-hmm.
And in the case of like Abel, you know, his faith was not in Christ because Christ hadn't been revealed. It was in the sacrificial lamb that was provided by the Lord. So it was it pointed to Christ, but biblical faith doesn't always have the clarity of Christ in it.
Doesn't it have the clarity of God, though?
It has the clarity of God, but it points to a sacrifice,
and
God's way of doing things, so the things of God. So there's a sacrificial component that's always there, but that, I guess the term is progressive revelation.
Mm-hmm.
So faith is made clearer in a biblical sense as revelation is made, as it progressively is given to man. So the essence of it is the same, but the content grows.
Yeah, because the essence doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Never changes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The revelation is a growing thing.
Right.
But so that brings in another aspect. Where do you find out about all of this? That's the only place.
Yeah, there's a...
That's the only place it is, and it goes back to what you're saying. Faith, the essentials of faith... are in the Word of God. Okay? Word of God says that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins. fact. You may or may not know about the fact, but its essence, its reality, its real fact. Faith in and of itself deals with the facts.
Just another thought, and it kind of probably struck others in the class like it did me when you said, is faith about things that haven't happened yet?
Mm-hmm.
And we all were like, yeah, sure, that's what's hoped for. And you said, no, it's about what is real and already factual. Mm-hmm. So, well, what about the return of Christ? What about, you know, the marriage supper, et cetera, et cetera? When we think about things of God, He doesn't dwell in time, so everything is a reality already for Him.
Good point.
And if our faith is in a God who doesn't dwell in time, then that is why we're not looking at having faith in things that are future. They're a present reality in God.
So that kind of, when we do that, like when I say, oh, I'll have faith in the future, I'm going back to me. Right, I'm saying, it hasn't happened to me yet.
You might or you might not, because if you're talking about essence, faith is essence. Essence, whose essence is it? Is it faith's essence?
No.
Whose essence is it? When we're talking about essence, we're talking about a person who is God. And His essence includes love and mercy, and He's all powerful, He's all knowing, He's got veracity.
And which goes back to what Donna said, because this all applies to God, and you really can't put this to anything else.
I don't think so.
Right.
When you're talking about the essence.
Right.
But J.D.'s right that when you go to verse 2 and 3, and the rest of chapter 11 is all about application. But the beginning of it has to be, the faith is the essence of the things of God. That's really what it is. And who is God? I mean, what are His attributes? He's holy, He's righteous, He's love, He's truth. The Lord Jesus said, I am truth. I'm not the truth, I am truth. I am the thing truth. I am not the way, I am way. And I am life. I'm not the life, I am life. Okay, so when you look at God's righteousness and He's just and He's infinite, you can't put God in a box. We're trying to put Him in a box now, but you can't. Because His essence are His things. Okay? You alright with that? No arguments? Okay. So, could you say faith is reality?
Yes.
Yes.
That's what my footnote says here, is that it replaces the word assurance with reality.
Oh, gee. Reality. So we could say faith is reality. Right?
My book, again, I read it already. Faith.
We've already discounted your book.
Faith treats things hoped for as reality. So, to say faith is reality? Faith is hoping in reality.
The Greek word is hypotasis, which is the word for reality.
Faith is real.
Yeah,
that
it is
the
real.
The definition of faith is real?
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
Another word that it uses in mine is nature.
What's that?
Another word that mine has is, it says it's the same word translated as nature.
Nature, as long as it isn't nature like the birds and the trees. Yeah. It's the nature of the thing. Okay. So you say faith is reality. It's real. Now, a lot of people don't buy that, because they read it and they think, well, if I believe it hard enough, then it might become real. But faith in and of itself, because this is an essence verb, is reality. Reality is faith. That's what an essence verb does.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
So, Wiest has a definition here that...
Who does?
Wiest.
Okay.
I don't mean to derail by any sense, but I think that kind of brings together a lot of the things that we're trying to understand. It says, faith apprehends as a real fact what is not revealed to the senses. It rests on that fact, acts upon it, and is upheld by it in the face of all that seems to contradict it. Faith is real seeing.
Is real what?
Real seeing.
Real seeing?
Real seeing.
Really seeing.
Oh, okay. Really seeing.
All right, here's my question for the day. Do these ever change?
No.
No. No.
So if I said faith is reality and the things of God, they never change. Does my faith change?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All the time. But the essence of faith never does. I could be all over the lot in terms of my own personal faith, but in of itself, it never changes because these things don't change. Reality doesn't change. I can't wake up next Thursday and say, well, my reality is different this week than it was last week because I feel different.
Go ahead.
Just comparing it like something to easy like gravity, it's like we don't walk around and like get up in the morning and say, you know, gosh, I really hope gravity is going to be there today.
Takes the day off. Or,
know, it's like just kind of an understanding that it's always, you know, always there.
Yeah.
A rest, an assurance.
Okay.
I was going to say we have our physical senses.
Yeah.
And, you know, Vern's got a pretty good diagram that he uses regularly to show we have a parallel to each of those five senses in the spiritual realm. And this is talking about the ability to see spiritually reality in a way that the physical realm cannot understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, this is only biblical faith, but this is real seeing.
Yeah, this is the only way that you get to know what the things of God are. You are not going to get to know them by feeling, by seeing. Have you ever noticed, because you guys are such scholars, how much God in the Old Testament actually did things physically? He would appear to people. They would have dreams. He would cause things to happen. But he doesn't do that now. Why didn't he do it now?
Because we have the Holy Spirit.
He does to some people.
Like,
or at least they say.
Well, you're talking about Oral Roberts?
Would like to know if he steps up to me. But I've heard people say that only on TV. Maybe I better stop watching TV.
Well, no, you know what? It's interesting. J.D. brought up verse 2, 11, Hebrews 11, 2. Mm-hmm. I think the King James says, by it, the elders received witness.
Approval.
Yeah. If you're functioning this way, do you think the Spirit of God confirms in you that what you know is the truth? Sure he does. Because this is reality. This is really what is real. Does anybody outside of the body of Christ ever get to see any of this? What do you think?
No,
they don't.
Because then they would be believers.
Because the Spirit's what reveals it, and they can't have a spirit unless they believe in
Christ.
That's
right. Now, God is going to reveal his some of his essence, as he talks about in Romans 1, excuse me, that he's God and that he's powerful, and he, you know. But these things of God that we just went through, no way. Do these things exist independent of this?
No.
Sure they do.
They do.
Sure they do. Are the things of God, do they exist whether there's faith or not?
From our end, yeah.
I'm talking about the essence. Sure they do.
Yeah.
Sure they do. Why would God, you should know the answer, why would God require this thing called faith of human beings? Where's the value in this equation?
The value is in who he is and what he's done.
Right here.
Yeah.
The value's not there. It's here. So when you to translate this to personal faith, when I believe the things of God, where's the credit? Here. It's not in my faith, it's here. That's why faith is a non-meritorious act.
Isn't it crazy? That's the only thing.
And the only way.
That's so important.
Yeah.
It's the only way. That's it.
It's the only way I know of where God retains all the glory. I'm glad He does.
Yeah.
Okay. You all right? Moving on. So, what over here now of the things not being seen or hoped for? What are the things hoped for? Let me give you an example. God's Word tells us that Jesus is going to come back. Right?
Uh-huh.
It tells us that there's going to be a tribulation. It tells us that there's going to be a beam of judgment. Uh-huh. It tells us that all of these things. We're going to get glorified bodies. He's going to glorify us with Himself. There's going to be a wedding feast of the Lamb. There's going to be a millennial kingdom. Is there a doubt about those being certain?
No.
Okay. So, so you have to say that this and this are linked also because of this essence verb. Faith is evidence. Evidence of what? Things hoped for. Okay? Wouldn't that be a better definition of hope?
Well, this not being seen part, yes.
Yeah.
Huh? That's your question, yes.
Yeah.
But this not being seen, 2 Corinthians 4:18 might give some additional insight to that. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Okay. The word seen here...
I'm sorry, what scripture was
2 Corinthians 4:18. Does that help?
It does. It does. Does that help you?
Yes.
Good. Make sure he talks loud enough.
Yes, I keep... Somebody told me I need hearing aids, and now he can't even believe.
Well, they've been telling me that, too, because I keep saying, what did you say? So, we're talking about the things of God... The things that are not being seen. The word seeing here is not the word for perception. It is a word blepo in the Greek, which means that which we visually see or something that can't be visually seen. So the things not being seen are things you can't see with your eyes, with your human perception. Faith is evidence of the things that can't be seen. Isn't that interesting? Again, we're talking about a certainty. We're talking about a certainty. So I'm not sure the word hope for is appropriate for here.
Because I like what my Bible says.
I hope it's faith. Better. No, go ahead.
You like what mine says about hope.
Is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see.
Okay, that's good.
That's certain.
Mine says faith treats things hoped for as reality. You gotta like that.
Oh, I like that a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, that's kind of what mine says, treating them as if they were already objects of sight rather than of hope.
So, we have to come to the conclusion that there's an awful lot of things about God that are non-perceptible by feeling, by visual, by as an example. I'm going to go to seminary. And I'm going to spend 4 years there, and boy, am I going to learn. And when I get out of there, I'm going to be so spiritual. What's the problem with that?
Why?
Right here. Here's the problem with it. If I'm not in seminary, a man of faith, I don't see anything. I get a good history lesson. You know, I get concepts. and ideas that have been extrapolated so that I can understand them. I don't see the things of God that you can't perceive. Do you see that? You have a question?
I have a weird thought. I'm going back to that essence verb. You know, earlier you said Donna is woman.
Mm-hmm.
That really, I'm thinking that really isn't, I don't like that in the sense that...
What, you don't like being a woman?
No, in the sense that essence is who I am.
There you go.
And you can't pinpoint, you can give my attributes, but my essence has to do with my soul and the life that the Lord has given me.
Could I say then that Donna is a believer? Or Donna is a son of God? A son of God is Donna? Can I say that?
Yeah.
Sure I can. That's your essence. That's your essence. And so as you study the Word of God, and you start to see these things that are talked about, especially in Paul's epistles, you know, not that you need to become a Greek scholar, but lots and lots and lots of the declarations about who you are as believers are essence verbs.
So the things of God are His essence.
That's right.
Did you say that?
Oh, sure. And they're not seen. They're not visible. They're not knowable. It's like Courtney and his reef.
Except
you can't. You can see the reef, but you cannot see this without faith.
Without faith, yeah.
See?
And we can't have faith without God.
Now, how do you mean that?
It's an attribute of God that we just can't get it on our own. Like, oh, I'm going to try and have faith.
Let's talk about that. Does every human being come equipped with faith?
You know, it reminds me of when God says we have no excuse because He's
knowable in His creation.
Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing, that knowableness is the potential for faith in Him.
So one of the interesting things about a human being is that we got this thing called the will. You know, it's a picker. We get to choose stuff. You know, I can pick this or pick that. I can choose this or choose that. What's your will really for? Why did God give it to you?
But you said we don't have a free will.
We don't. We don't.
I'm getting more confused.
Well, alright.
Sit closer.
If Romans 3 says I'm a slave to sin, then am I free? If I'm a slave to sin, if I'm a slave, am I free?
No.
Sin decides I don't. I get to pick between what sin I'm going to commit and what the next sin I could. I don't get to pick life. So what's your will for? What's it really there for? Why did God give it to you? So you would choose Him. How do you choose Him? By believing. Your will is there so you can use it to believe. That's what it's for.
I guess I think that it is.
But He predestined us.
This predestined us to what?
God predestined everything that happens, what you believe.
No.
What you don't believe, it says He predestined.
Predestined what? The word predestined only refers to Christians. It never, in the Word of God, refers to non-believers. It never does. No one has ever been predestined to hell.
That made a big difference.
Yeah, once you become a believer, now there's a lot of predestined for you. These things.
Predestined to be conformed to the image of
there
Christ.
You go. Yeah, is that going to happen?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Or relief.
Well, that helps me along this road when
some
I'm
of us more than
tripping
others.
And stumbling. And,
be quiet.
You know, that helps me a lot along this road where I'm tripping and stumbling, and you know, I have faith that God's going to transform me.
That God's going to do what
that's
He said. When He reveals these things to you in His Word, He means it.
Yeah.
He absolutely means it.
Because I used to take the predestined, I think kind of like what you're saying, is that it applied to me from the day that I was born. Mm-mm. And why pray about things, or why do this and why do
it
that?
It only applies to you from the day you were reborn.
And once I saw that, it was different. Yeah.
Romans 8:28, yeah. Whom he foreknew, he foreordained to what? To be conformed to the image of his son. He's not talking about my buddy across the street here.
Yeah. That's when you look at Ephesians, and Ephesians has that. That's why I go through it. I think in Ephesians 1 and 2, there are all those things about predestined, all those truths. They're always, if you look at them, I can't remember, I had one of the questions I had. It was, how many times is in him put in Ephesians 1 and 2? It's like 17 times. All those truths are related to you in him. It's not that we are predestined to be put into him, or be a Christian, or be a believer. It's always after. If you look at all those verses, it's always related to being in him. That's the predestination. Once you're in him, all these things are true about you now. But it wasn't that you're predestined. And that, the Ephesians verses, a lot of people use that I'm predestined for this. But the latter part of the verse is in him. It's because you're in him. That's the predestination. It's not that we're predestined to be a believer.
Yeah, that's right. Now,
okay, thank you.
So to get this clear, where is the only source of what God has done and is doing and will do?
Bible.
That's it. So that's where you get all of this. That's where all of that comes from. So here you are cruising through the Bible this afternoon instead of watching football. And you come across a pronouncement from God about who you are. What do you do with the information?
Did you repeat?
You exercise your will and you believe him. You don't say, well, you show me and give me an experience, then I'll believe you. No. You exercise your will and you say, because you said it, I trust you, I believe you. And then he will lead you into this. And it will become part of who you are.
I have a question. The scripture where it says God desires people that worship him in spirit and in truth. Does that apply?
Sure does. Okay. Absolutely it does.
That's what he's looking at.
Because we're looking at truth.
And truth.
And we're looking at a spiritual worship, not a soulish one, not a feeling one.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
That's why the sons of God shall live by faith. Now, so let's get... I'm going to get through with this lesson, isn't it cool? So the things of God are what he's done, what he's doing right now, and what he's going to do, like judge the earth and etc. What's the most important thing that God did?
The gospel.
Close. He sent Christ. It's the most important thing he did. Okay.
Which would mean he gave us an opportunity to have a relationship with him, because if he hadn't, we wouldn't.
He gave you the opportunity to exercise your will to believe him.
So that we could have a relationship with
him.
Yeah.
Now, so here's what I want you to put in the back of your brain. We have to see that the essence of faith, the reality, has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with me in terms of the essence of faith. None of this is about me. This is about what faith is, its essence. Okay? I'm like you, you know, and I've read that verse 1,000 times in my life, and I always try to make it about me. This is not about me. This is what it is. If I exercise faith in the things of God, they'll become reality to me. But this is what it is. So this is actually heartening to me, because when you apply the principle of faith to the essence of faith, look where I end up. I end up basking in the things of God. Pretty cool. But this has nothing to do with your personal faith. Nothing. This is about God and faith itself.
So okay. That happens when the Holy Spirit descends on you, and then you have the faith.
Well, when God comes to me with the gospel as a non-believer, he presents it to me through revelation. What's he want me to do with the information? Holy Spirit or no Holy Spirit? He wants me to believe it. He doesn't make a move until I believe. You see that? He made a move to give me the information. He got it to me. And I think he stands there and he waits until you say, I believe you. I think spiritual growth is the same way. He comes to you and he says, look, you want to know what I did about your sin nature? I crucified you. Do you believe me? And if you say, well, then you get the, well, you don't get a response from him. But if you say, you know, I don't understand it, but because you said it, I believe you, guess what? You're going to enter into it.
And it's like the Holy Spirit gets it to you, right?
Yeah,
the Holy Spirit's that power that is going to get it to you each time, whether the first time or all the times after that. And then you get the will or choice of...
I think you have to understand that God operates on only this principle. There's no emotion. You know, there's none of this warm, fuzzy jar of feelings and none of that. It's a principle. It's how he works. We got to close. Father, how we thank you for your word. And we really are pretty excited about the essence of faith and how it is, how it does work, and that it is offered to us in that respect. So we thank you, Father. We pray in your Son's precious name. Amen.